Good day, buffet. Sorry to keep you waiting. Your table is ready for All You Can Eat, a weekly comeback of K-pop music commentary. My name is Chuck Jose, and each week we take a brand new release and we let you know what we think about it. You can catch more episodes of this show on all of your favorite podcast platforms, and make sure to give us a follow on all of your favorite social media locations. We would love to interact with you there. And of course, you can email us howyoucaneat@gmail.com. Of course, I am not the only leader of this show. I have two wonderful other co-leaders to share this meal with, starting with Alan Mark. I don't think I've ever seen you wear this t-shirt before. How are you doing, sir? What is on your plate this week?
Hello. We missed you last week, Chuck, but glad to have you back here. But on my shirt, it is an owl bear, which is a monster from Dungeons and Dragons. But this is specifically the Eggford owl bear's hoot growl, which is the mascot for the high school that Dimension 20 Fantasy High takes place at. So
that's wonderful. Man. I didn't realize owlbears would be so synonymous with D&D after our playthrough with Baldur's Gate. And
Right. We got to that part.
Yeah. I'll explain more a little bit later. But it's so good to be back. Thank you so much for holding down the fort. Along with the other co-leader, of course, he's the one who rounds out the big three and the one who hails from NYC. It's Steven. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing well. And yeah, welcome back. Glad to have you back again. Yeah, doing well. Not much new since last week, but
yeah. Our listeners expect us to have something monumental to come back with every single week. They expect us to have this wonderful life, but, you know, we're just enjoying, you know, just simplicity, I guess. So it's good to know that nothing bad or good is happening. You're just having a very regular Steven week.
Lee, I do have family in town, and
I
will be having a young child, and my sister is staying with me in my small apartment for a couple of days soon. Week they're just gonna be, we're all gonna be in here. So
but that'll how be old fun. Is said young child? A toddler?
She's four.
Okay, yeah. Good. At least it won't be what I'm dealing with right now, right. Which is just needing hugs and kisses and milk and burping and all that stuff. You can actually interact. That's cool though. Fun. I have been obviously in and out of podcasting. I've been having to do some fatherly duties. It's always interesting. It's always fun to figure out how to reconfigure your life around something that needs a lot of care. And I'm just I'm that person at work now who when invited to a happy hour, I have to think twice and go I gotta go home and be a family man. But I still try to make time for How You Can Eat, of course. It's not that I don't listen to K-pop. I just can't talk about it so often these days, but who knows, maybe in 4 years when Heejin is running around in Steven's apartment, I'll be able to record some stuff. Have you guys done anything K-pop lately, recently? Anything new? Anything? Oh man. Anything fun?
Not wow. K-pop related. No, it's it's only been a week for Steven and I, so I don't have
that's true
K-pop updates since then.
I don't have K-pop updates. I did not get IU tickets, even though I tried. I was incredibly jealous of everyone who went to Allegiant Stadium to watch twice. Mm-hmm. The amount of clips I've just seen of Dayun doing "Look at Me," I'm just like just so envious. Anyway, those are my K-pop things.
Yeah. And like, I was surprised.
Wow, how does everyone get tickets?
I don't know. I think
did they just buy
a long time ago, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I remember like seeing tickets about that like sometime in 2023. Mm-hmm. Like, so.
Okay. It's the diehard. I mean, at this point, I feel like they just come once a year. So it's just that they'll just always perform new songs and everything. But yeah, that's. I remember seeing clips and going like, that's cool. One day I'll go to a K-pop concert. Maybe I can go to TXT.
There's a lot of arena ones coming up.
Mm. Yeah. Is TXT like big enough where I have to fight people to get tickets? Or
I think probably, they're right? All just
feel like
that
K-pop
now.
In general.
Yeah, I think it's less of a you're fighting fans of the group and more just people just scalpers. Scalpers and just people that just go to K-pop shows in general.
Even though they're not TXT fans per se.
Yeah, but they're like,
all right, Rolling Quartz, you need to come back. We need to have a great time.
That was
a small rock venue.
That was so
I would love
fun.
More of that.
That was so
I
fun.
I want to go to more smaller, like, lesser known artists. I would 100%
talk about this concert I went to a couple weeks ago. It was like five bands and none of them were
is it the one that you had posted on social media?
Yeah, I had posted some
stories. No, you did not talk about that.
Okay. I can mention it really quickly, but it was part of this music festival happening here called the New Colossus Fest, and they had like,
I mean, I trust you. I mean, the last time we were in New York, you were like checking out this.
It was very similar to that.
Yeah.
Like weekend, because they had all these bands all doing shows almost nonstop throughout the weekend, and the show I went to just one show, and it was called like Tokyo Calling, but
not that not
it's
that
not,
Tokyo Calling.
But it's not Atarashikako.
No, it wasn't them. They did have. There were supposed to be two bands from Japan, but one couldn't play anymore. So they got one. There was one band from Japan, and then the band that replaced them was from Scotland. And they were good too, but they were not. but they were cool. But the first performer, she is from New York, and she's actually Korean American, and she was singing some songs in Korean. Her name is Mina, and I'm sure I think,
Mina.
Yeah. and she did mention she really liked New Jeans. Let's see. I have to find Spotify. It's like min.a. And she was really cool. But I wanted to mention a couple other bands. Well, I guess I'll talk about all of them.
Oh,
there's a band from...
I guess we're getting an early... A moose boosh for Steven's
movie. Oh, right. Oh, yeah. But the other bands I saw there were Subsonic Eye from Singapore, a band called PH0 from New York also, and they play with like, they're like a metal band, and they use classical Chinese instruments, and it was like the coolest show.
Are they P Harmony Zero?
Harmony Zero, yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
I thought I recognized some of them.
Or is that the are they is that the, like their pH level? Is that what it stands for?
I don't know what it means.
Are they
base?
It just does it mean just pure acid
water?
I guess so. That's what the low end is. So I guess so.
Yeah.
And then
I only remembered that because it was recently in a New York Times mini crossword. I would not have pulled that on.
What was the?
I was gonna say, wow.
It was like low pH balance, and the answer was acid. So
okay. Yeah. So then they were just so good. Then Scotland, this band called Spires, and then lastly, a band from Japan called Backdrop Cinderella, and that was the craziest show. The singer, just like from the first song, jumped into the crowd, started crowd surfing like at the beginning, was pretty much nonstop for the rest of their set, and, like climbing up on the pipes and like things in the venue, and they were just playing really loud and starting mosh pit. It was a very fun show, but yeah, I was very tired, and I was super impressed by the singer's ability.
Were you in the mosh pit?
I was like just off to the side.
Okay,
yeah,
I haven't been in a mosh pit in so long, and
it was a small venue, so I could have easily just like gotten pushed into it.
A mosh hole, maybe.
I know.
It was a mosh divot. I guess
maybe more of a divot. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Okay. Well, it's nice to talk about other music every now and then. Would you say the general genre was rock? Or
yeah, generally. Like, I think you both would really like this band.
Metal.
The group Subsonic.
Okay, back.
Subsonic. The group from Singapore. Right. They were really good. Mm.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah, that's fun.
Cool. Okay, well, I guess Steven's life is pretty awesome. So
that was a few weeks back. That was
long time. Peaks and valleys. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah, but lately.
Yeah, just a family.
Ugh.
Anyway,
familial duties. Okay, so we talked about Singaporean music, Japanese music, Scottish music. No bagpipes, I'm assuming?
Not one pipe?
nary a pipe.
Oh, I love it. But you, of course, came here to go listen to K-pop commentary. And we got a great one for you this week. We're actually... I'll mention more about... what our march has become... essentially become. But we got a great... great group to talk about, a lot of exciting stuff for this album. But we, of course, got to show some love to the other dishes that are being served this week in a segment that we like to call Steven's Specials of the Week. So, Steven, take it away.
All right. Thank you, Chuck. It is, of course, my Specials of the Week. I got what you want. I got what you need. And we have five very exciting releases. I think that they might all be debuts this week because there were quite a few this month. But starting off on Monday, we have a group called Islit, I-L-L-I-T, with a mini album.
That's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, Islit.
Been reading it wrong in my head this whole time.
I'm like, Illit.
Yeah.
Ill again.
It's lit.
It's lit. Oh, man. Okay, Islit.
Their mini album is called Super Real Me, and the title track is called Magnetic. And this is a new 5-member girl group under B-Lift Lab, and they were formed through the show Are You Next?, and the name means I Will Be It. This mini album has 4 songs, lots of names on it, including Albin Tengblad, Slow Rabbit, Hitman Bang, Martin, Nojuhuan, Stint, and more. So good luck to Islit. Next up on Tuesday, a group called Re-Scene, with the single album called Re-Scene and the title track and it says they are also a 5-member girl group But they're under the Muse Entertainment, and their name means something like re-evoking the scene with scent. And the single album includes their pre-release song called Yo-Yo. Once again, many names on this album, including the Muse, Paulina Pau Siria, Sojong Ah, Val Del Prete, Josephine Glenmark, Tim Tan, Jar of 153 at June Bus, and more. And of course, good luck to Re:Scene. Next, we're going to Wednesday, two debuts on Wednesday. First is the group Candy Shop with their mini album Hashtag, and then hash the hashtag after it. So hashtag hash. And the title track, Good Girl. They are a four-member girl group under Brave Entertainment, and their name means catch and draw youth, and shop is the space connecting them with their listeners. This mini album has four songs. Credits include the Brave Entertainment producers Mabuse, JS, Red Cookie, Chakun, and the man himself, Brave Brothers. So good luck to Candy Shop. And then the other debut from Wednesday is Uni. Oh, wait, I didn't look up exactly how to pronounce this. I think it's just Eunice. Eunice, but anyway, UNIS, and they have a mini album called We Eunice, title track Superwoman, and they are an eight-member girl group under F&F Entertainment, formed through the show Universe Ticket, and their name means Universe is Starting. And there are five songs on this mini album, including two songs performed during the later episodes of the show. Credits include Paper Maker, the already mentioned Val Del Prete, Alex Keem, Stella Jones, Ryzen of 153 June Bus, Imlay, Galactica, Alina Smith, and more. So good luck to Eunice. Lastly, on Friday, we have a solo debut from Soyeon of the group Laboom, with a song called it's a Korean title, and it means something like how have you been, or how are you doing? And this year will be 10 years since her debut in Laboom, and this debut single comes ahead of her appearance on a show called Girls on Fire, which will also form a new group at the end, which I'm sure I will talk about. But good luck on your solo debut to Soyeon. And yeah, five debuts, four new girl groups, and Soyeon with her solo debut. And those have been my specials of the week.
Wow. I don't think you've had such a menu before. This is like
Yeah, it's been
all
a long
single
time.
dishes.
New
That's cool.
season. It's a new season,
New
so I gotta
season.
put out the new stuff out
Ooh,
there.
new season. Ah, I get it. Well, thanks, Steven, for another delicious menu this week. Okay, let's talk about the main topic of the show. And of course, as always, Alan Mark is gonna carry us through our discussion with we're still calling it the same thing, right? I mean, I don't want to call it the do you have a name for it?
No,
I know
I just bring it
you have
in
the
how I do.
catch. Gotcha. Okay. Well, he's gonna lead us in. Let us know about what our group has been up to since we last talked about them, and any other stuff, any other fun tidbits. So, Al Mark, carry us through.
So, I mean, I'm here. I gotta be here because I wanna add a dash, add a dash. I wanna add a little hot sauce to dip that because what's that? What's that? We're talking about NCT Dream today.
Whoa. Was I listening to the spatial audio version of that intro? Wow. There was so much going on there.
There was, and just like NCT Dream, there a lot's been going on with them too. Whoa. So since we last talked about NCT Dream back in May 2021 with their Hot Sauce album release.
Don't say that. Don't say 2021. Wow.
It's, we've been doing a string of 3 years later
don't
albums.
Say 3 years ago. Wow. I still remember that song.
Yeah. But yeah, later in 2021, they repackaged that album into Hello Future in June, which included three new tracks, including that title track of the same name, Hello Future. Then in 2022, they released their second full album, Glitch Mode, in March, followed up by another repackage for it titled Beatbox. Following these releases, they went on their first world tour titled The Dream Show 2 in a Dream, which then also had its own concert film that was shown in theaters in South Korea, Japan, and Singapore. Rounding out that year, they also released a winter EP, Candy, including a cover of the classic H.O.T. song as its single. Then in February 2023, they released the Japanese single Best Friend Ever, which included a Japanese version of Glitch Mode. And in July of 2023, NCT Dream released their third full album, ISTJ, featuring the single of the same name there. And it also included the pre-release English single, Broken Melodies. Now, after finally seemingly taking a break from Dream activities, though granted there was a full NCT album in late 2023, so were they really taking a break? They're always busy. The Dreamies were back with their seventh EP titled Dream, open parentheses, close parentheses, Scape.
Thank you.
Featuring the lead single, Smoothie. And that's what we're talking about today.
I don't think we need to do any like catch up of like, well, what have we been, how have we, what are our thoughts? I think it's very clear. We brought up NCT Dream a lot for a lot of our discussions. I think out of, what is it? ISTG, TJ? Is that what it is? I forget the Myers-Briggs. And Beatbox and Glitch Mode. What was your favorite single from those three?
Actually, the one I liked since then was Hello Future. I think that which came right
from
after
those four.
Yeah. Which came right after Hot Sauce. Just, that chorus in Hello Future was just so good.
Yeah.
So, I think that's the one that stuck out to me the most out of the four releases since.
Hey.
Hard choice.
Yeah, I don't
really neither.
Know.
Candy.
I would just want to say Beatbox just. Because it's
I'm beatbox too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're right. I mean, Glitch Mode, I feel like I just heard that just took over the entire year. I just dance and song, but then Beatbox, that just felt way more fun. I don't know, just seemed so wholesome of a song. Even the music video was. But okay, so I'm glad we got that covered because we are about to enter the dreamscape, and What a shift in the past like four releases. I feel like I was so used to them being, you know, the early 2000s, like late 90s, like lots of color, lots of fun, brightness, and then they hit us with this like very dark, like very cool and mysterious concept, and I was like, even the album art for this EP, I kind of was like, this is NCT Dream? What is going on? Like, this is what is going on? And so let's begin our discussion with Smoothie. As Alan Marcus saying, is the single of the album.
Listen,
wow, I did not, I wanted to bring those other three and four songs up because in a way those still kind of, I mean, carry on with Hot Sauce, it had a more fun, like younger kind of vibe, but this song was wow. It's just like so, like, I don't know, the first thought I was getting was I was thinking with a lot of the arrangements with the percussions and the bass and everything like that, I was thinking I'm not saying it sounds like this, but that era of like Missy Elliott and like Timbaland and like very like drum and bass, not drum and like DMB, but like very heavy on the percussion, like low sounds and frequencies. And then I was getting some like whisper song, Ying Yang Twins, because this song kind of starts off like very smooth and like you get hit with that mark, just the mark line of like, gosh, does it start off with him saying smoothie? I forget. I could just listen to it.
Jamin is the one that says smoothie first. And then Mark says, good boy, da 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 da. Yeah, so that's how it starts.
Yes. So it just starts off in such a cool manner. And it just, I just feel like they were, like everyone was like required, except for Haechan, everyone was like, sing as low as possible because this is going to be a cool song. Mm. And I think overall it's very ear candy or earworm centric. I think there's a lot of great lines in this song that I'll remember and want to listen to. But I think it kind of follows the same kind of formula that they've been producing with some of their past singles, which is just like pockets of great moments and then somewhat repetitive, monotonous but like memorable chorus. And so I think this one for me felt one, like a departure from what I'm used to at NCT Dream, but two, a good departure to kind of, you know, give them a little bit more style and flair to their persona. So overall, I think great, like good single. Does it beat the other three? I don't think so, but very cool nonetheless, especially when performed by NCT Dream. Alan Mark, what do you think about Smoothie? I know it's fun that every time we cover NCT Dream, it's always food related. So
that's true. Yeah. Two for two so far. So if they keep wanting us to talk about them, then just,
I know, you know, just keep
hot sauce smoothie. What's next? Oh no, cappuccino.
Were you Were you sipping on this song?
I was. Well, it was funny because the first thing that I ever saw about this song, was like, I think it might have been a TikTok or just like a random clip, and it was just the chorus. So that was my first immediate thing I learned about the song. I was like, oh, this is what the song is? It's just literally them saying smoothie with nothing else around, and like, this is the chorus. So that was not a good first impression, but I was like, okay, we're gonna cover this. So I pressed play, and then the song started, and then pretty much everything else about the song hit me. I was like, oh, this is what the song actually sounds like. And like that first impression washed away real quick. And I was like, this has a lot of really cool parts in it.
Yep.
It's just so interestingly like built. But as like a song itself, like, I don't think I wasn't surprised with the sound and shift of it as much as you were, I think, because it's basically, for me, it feels like, oh, it's the adult version of their song Boom that they did in like 2019 or so. That one's like, yeah, what if we did like sort of went back to that vibe, but then like now they're not teenagers anymore, so we could actually adult it up a little bit. I mean, it's a tonal shift from like the past 3 years, but I don't think it's like outside of the foray of what NCT Dream, like it doesn't feel outside of their identity, in my opinion, when I listen to it. And I think part of that too is also because there are such great, interesting melodic parts in the song that I feel like NCT Dream really hangs its hat on. Like the verses are absolutely killer. The pre-chorus was a really great lead in into that chorus that I didn't like at first, but then grew to enjoy more. So yeah, I think it turned out to be like sort of like a smart choice as the lead single for NCT Dream, especially. I think it's been like 8-9 months since their last NCT Dream itself single, an album. So it's been more time than what I guess we're accustomed to for NCT Dream.
Yeah. Steven, were you shaking, stirring, drinking this song up?
I don't know if I was shaken. That I feel like that could be just a neutral term. I'm not really sure whether or not I would be. But I think just, I don't know, I always talk about like the expectations of a single, or, and I feel like with any NCT group these days, I don't really have any sound that I'm expecting anymore. Like they can each do anything, I think. I guess figure they probably going to rap a lot and that would be normal. But maybe I wasn't expecting how dark I thought this sounded. I felt like it fit with the album. I mean, the song we'd heard already on the album, if you're listening in order. But like, I don't know if I still think that they should be so always playful and like that youthful sound that I had associated with them before. But then this song Smoothie doesn't really resemble anything like Yogurt Shake from their previous album, so no reason to really expect this to be a sequel. But anyway, what this song is, I do like the chorus a lot, and it had to grow on me, and all of the like little spoken parts, I was like, when I first hear them, I'm like, I don't really care for this, but then I always need it any time later. Like, what does he say? What does Mark say at the end of the chorus? Like, sip it down, you know. Like, I'm like, the first time, I'm like, I don't, what does that do? But then I'm like, okay, yeah, we need that for the song. But I'll just, I don't know. They don't have too many more notes to add, but my favorite part, I think, was that second verse. Incredible beat, the instruments there. I love the piano. I love the complete change. I had no expectation of something like that happening. But the three of them singing those first lines in that verse, it was just so good. And then back into some great bars. So love that part.
I have to agree with that second verse. I just made me want to do a body roll the whole time. Just like, just 2000s, I don't know, R&B kind of style. And it just felt really good, really good to listen to. And I think that's the part of this, or that's the thing about the song that I'm kind of like, I think I like it. I don't know. It's hard for me to say like I like it as a whole. I have to treat each moment individually, and I have to like keep, I think, I don't know if that was the intent, but I just shift my brain every like part to kind of get into the mood. Cause I'm like, when the smoothie part comes, I just want to like, listeners, you can't see this, but the Alamar can see even again. I just want to like do this with my shoulders, like smoothie, you know, that move.
Like a lean with it, rock with it.
Yeah, exactly. And it just, I feel so cool. And again, everyone's like whispering all the lines, like, and it's just very cool. And then it's almost like two different songs. It's like the slow jam, or like the R&B version, and then the like the somewhat hip hoppy version. So it's interesting. I it's definitely stuck in my head, the smoothie part, especially when you repeat something over and over again in such a sultry way, it gets stuck in my head. But it's just funny. I think more so the thing I enjoyed most about this song is that it they really latch on to the pun of smoothie. Like they relate a lot of things around the concepts of making a smoothie and drinking a smoothie and like how a smoothie is dirty and yeah. it's sticky and mm-hmm. it's, yeah. it's just so many
dirty taste. Huh?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what the dirty taste
is. Chen's last line is feel sticky on me. That's his last
right,
line.
Exactly.
When yeah. he does the high, like, semi-belchy part before, like, yeah. the last whisper. That's just how you're going to end that.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just, I really commend them for really, like, committing to the song or, like, the mm. subject matter. It's just, there's nothing, it's, like, very much, like, I am a smoothie, like sip me, you know, like full of. Yeah, anyway, it's just it's great. I enjoy these these interesting journeys into subject matters for songs. But yeah, I don't think, and I mean the bridge is great, of course. Another, I think what I'm really latching onto is the vocal, like the actual again the beautifully sung portions of the song, because I think it feels more of a song to me when I am reminded of these parts. The other times it's just kind of like I would say it's like a I need to workshop this comparison, but I feel like it's like a GIF where you're watching the same thing over and over again and it's like very enjoyable. You're just like repeating it and like, but you're kind of like, you kind of just shut off your brain and just like absorb what's happening, and it's like very mesmerizing. And then the beautiful vocals like break you out of the spell, and then you kind of go like, "Oh wait, where am I? Oh yeah, this beautiful thing." So like, I think that was my experience with the song in a nutshell. But I maybe I just black out every time the smoothie portion goes. Yeah. But I okay. I have a lot more I could probably say, but it's just me rambling now. So Al Mark, do you have any other call outs, any other sections that you enjoyed?
I think Steven mentioned the second verse already, which is like my main thing there. Like not only with like the piano, like the chords they chose, like those seventh like jazzy like R&B chords are great. But then matching it with like the choral vocal thing, parts in the background as well are like just so good. I'd love to watch the behind like recording of them doing this song. I know SM's been doing that a lot, so hopefully they upload it. Because just like watching them, I would love to watch them just like layer the vocals to build that up. But yeah, I mean, other than that, like I think the song itself, even outside of like the visuals and what we're going to talk about in the music video, like I'd be surprised if this song doesn't get popular because of how like it's built. There's the catchy parts, both just the repetitive smoothie section, but also like the really great like melodic sections too. I think overall it makes for what would like to me would make a really good and popular like K-pop song. So yeah, I expect it to be one of their more popular songs. At least I would think so. I could be wrong, but it's probably going to be one of the more popular songs of like this recent NCT Dream.
It definitely has like the chorus won't get tired I really like Glitch Mode. The beatbox I was like, yeah, that's cool. But the Glitch Mode, I just love the glitching part. But anyway, I think this one, there's got to be some smoothie company, like I don't know, Smoothie King maybe? Just like going like, we got to get this song. Got to get the rights for the song. Jamba Juice. I don't know. Okay, I think that's a great transition, Steven. Maybe if you want to talk more about the song as we transition to the music video, maybe you could do it there. But let's move to the music video because, again, even with ISTJ, they still had like a very dreamy pastel aesthetic to their attire. But this time, felt like I was watching second gen group again. It was just all dark, gritty, film grain was 100% turned on. And it was just the only color came from the fruit that they were highlighting. Where do we begin with this music video? It's just I don't know. I'm trying to delay the conversation as much as possible before we just end up talking about the horse, the single white horse. That's just
yes.
But yeah, I don't know what this music video was about at all.
Yeah.
Maybe there's doing some sort of like, I got the Fruit Ninja stuff because like that made sense. But everything else, I was just like, what? Am I watching like an episode of Severance or something like that? This is so interesting of a concept. But I guess, Steven.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts watching this music video? Initial thoughts.
I watched it a couple of times, and I think I always try to figure out like, or that's my what I'm thinking about when I'm watching it. Like, what is the plot of this video? And because there was a point where they had their people they were fighting or maybe training with, in my mind they were adversaries, but I couldn't quite put together a good plot for this, but I do think they were in some kind of institution, but they were also armed, and I don't know, I just kept thinking about how they have so many guns in SNL, and once again,
oh yeah, let's talk about that.
But yeah, it looked pretty cool. I liked when the fruits were in the back, like they had the kind of the posters or just the photos of the cross sections in the back. I liked that. It felt like they were trying to, I don't know, give us a subliminal message with all the fruits. But it was an interesting video to look at.
I also just didn't understand, and it's like this weird dissonance between, for at least for me, between the song, what the song represents, and then what they're representing visually. Like, besides the fact that they are just creating a, like, they're fighting people in order to get the ingredients to make a big smoothie, apparently. Not just fighting, just like mentally, like, oh, I'm gonna beat you in chess for this for a fruit that I'm gonna squeeze. But like that tied with just like what the context of the song, I believe, is more like a sexy connotation of like of a quote unquote smoothie. So I understand they probably didn't want to go full on like that context. But so they went with badass like I don't know, John Wick like music video, which, like, it just, like, those two things just didn't connect for me, but it looks great. And I think tonally, though, like, the soundscape of Smoothie, it suits it. I think it's more so just the lyrical context of Smoothie that is such the jarring thing for me. But, yeah, I mean, visually, it's cool. The styling, I thought, was really great. The choreography suits the song very well too. So yeah, I mean, it's a cool music video, but I just don't understand. The overall.
I love the if we're talking about choreography, I really enjoyed the sip choreo or like the slurping choreo, because it's like they did. Listeners, I'm putting my hand up to my mouth and then they do like that.
Oh yeah,
where they squeeze the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that squeeze. Yeah.
That was cool.
Really cool. I'm rewatching the little snippets of the music video, and it's I really enjoy that they have kept up with just the a stylistic, artistic display of fruit in any like possible way. Like let's talk about some of these like fun like moments. Let's see. Is it Haechan with the gun, shooting at the tombstone?
Rinjin is the one with the gun.
Rinjin's the one with the gun. Okay, yeah. Rinjin with the gun. I appreciate not shooting bullets, shooting a mango, I think, out of that barrel. What else? And then we got, gosh, I really need to memorize these people's faces without, like, with normal colored hair. I'm just used to, used to all the fun, colorful hairs. I would argue a strawberry is probably not the best punching bag. I agree that it's like big, like round enough to like, I would say like maybe punch a mango or an unripe mango. That would be a good punching bag. Just feel like a ripe, like a strawberry. And then wow, great visibility to the tag community with that one segment. Where they're like,
oh, the professional tag. Yeah.
The professional tag.
Jisung. That was Jisung.
Oh, Jisung. Okay. Yeah. He's like trying to grab the egg.
And then he's running away.
And then there's a guy in white trying to like chase him. But it was like in an arena that was similar to
professional
tag, where they're like doing a whole bunch of parkour around bars and steps and all that stuff.
Yeah. But for the punching bag one, though, I'll say I think visually a strawberry looks the best being hung.
Yes,
in that way. True. I think any other fruit, it just wouldn't translate as well because a strawberry has so many things going on with it, with like the seeds all around it. It just looks cooler. And that
was my favorite conversation we've ever had.
Yeah, that was Jeno, I believe. Jeno was the one with the punching bag.
Thank you. Yeah. Steven, if you're looking, it's right around 147 in the music video. Wow. This is where the game.
Oh, okay. Tag. Yes.
Yeah. Let's see what else. I don't know what fruit that is, but there's like an X-ray of some sort of like there's like fruit silhouettes all over the place, but it's like stylistic versions of fruits. Not, I mean, the only time we see like normal colors is during the I think Jaemin. Is Jaemin the one with the blonde hair?
Yeah, Jaemin was fruit ninjaing for sure.
Fruit ninja. Yeah. Okay. I'll get your names. Oh, was that a cherry pit? Going back to the second chorus, I did really appreciate how they almost made it. So they made it very artistic. Just the setting with all those backup dancers like dancing around watermelon. What is that?
Oh no! In the glass, yeah.
In the glass, yeah.
And I like that shift. They like the background is all red, which is like so drastic compared to everything beforehand, which is as you mentioned, like a really smart choice. Yeah. With Hey Chan.
Was that Mark who did Ooh, then there's a lot of X-rays of fruits. Anyway, just very interesting art, like I don't know, just I really enjoyed the, I don't know, it just felt, it's just fruit, but it's just, it looks so cool, I don't know, as a, like, as a cross-section for some reason.
Do you think one of them, do you think they put was it a tomato?
Oh, maybe.
I'm curious if that was a tomato, and they are saying.
I mean, it is a fruit.
Yeah.
So.
But, I guess it's common for smoothies anyway, so that's fine.
Hmm.
You're right. You're talking about the X-ray.
Yeah.
I've been holding this off. What is up with the horse? Because at the very end during the outro chorus, there's like it's almost like they were trying to harness Kill Bill and Matrix, like at the same like they were the twins, like the twin Asian guys in all white, and then at the very end where they're doing like really quick flash cuts, there's just one shot of the horse just looking at the camera. I have no idea. Listeners, if you get anything about the horse, let us know. But what did you guys
think? Well, what it made me think of is the title of this book called Behold a Pale Horse, which is this like conspiracy theorist book that I think unfortunately it has been very influential. I don't know if there's actually a trope that came from it, but or what the title refers to, because I've never read it. And but yeah, that's what a white horse made me think of.
Conspiracy. It made me think of Neverending Story.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Better. But I mean, I think all it was like Chunla was the one farthest away, and he had the last ingredient for this smoothie, so he needed to ride the horse in order to get there in time. That's all I could take from it. Maybe that's because that chess match went on for so long.
I'll make one more comment. I was trying to like, this song's like reminding me of something. I was just like, what is it? And then I think it's reminding me of XG's Tippy Toes, and it's really that like that bass, and then the fact that in the song they go like sip it down, and then in Tippy Toes they're like tippy tippy ta, like you know, like very whispery. They're also wearing a lot of dark clothing, and it's a lot of heavy, like that heavy bass carrying the whole song. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. Maybe that's what I'm getting hints of, but that smoothie. Did any of you have a smoothie while listening to the song?
No, I don't have actually, a blender.
Let's I for guess our I could order one. You know, it's always you know, it's great that you know, our listeners get to know who we are, what we're all about. So Steven, what's your go-to smoothie?
Oh, I don't know. I think it would just be
like what would you put in there? Like what fruits?
I would definitely put banana. I think a strawberry banana would be that's like a good base. Maybe a mango too. Actually, oh, you know what? If not that, then the green mango, like the slightly like the unripe mango.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Smoothie,
yeah.
That is so good. So I'll go with that.
Yeah.
That's not my go-to, but I just wish I had it more.
Unripe mango smoothie, yeah. You know, like how they have dishes where it's like the four stages of one ingredient, or you know, like these fancy Michelin star restaurants, like they try to break down or you know, present to you three different ways you can eat the same ingredient, right? You should have a smoothie of all the different stages of a mango. Like that should be think about it.
That would be
think
pretty good.
Yeah. Okay, so Alamark, you don't have a blender, but if you were to go to some sort of smoothie shop, Smoothie King, Jamba Juice, whatever, what flavors are you picking out?
Actually, there's one. Oh god, there's this one. I can't remember which one it is. It's like this breakfast brunch spot here in the East Bay that I order once in a while, and they have like a really good green smoothie. I'm trying to find it on like my delivery apps to see if I could find which one, or like what's in it. But that one,
yeah.
If I find it, okay, I'll let the listeners green. Know. It's really good green smoothie.
I like really. If I'm not feeling berries, I'm feeling very tart, and so I will get mango, pineapple. I'm very tropical, so. I like coconut and pineapple and rum, and there's got to be a drink for that, I think. Sort of, some sort of pineapple colada of sorts. But yeah, anyway, I'm very tropical oriented, so that's my smoothie. Okay, cool. That is the lead single for Dreamscape. We got one more song to cover before the break is over, and that's the first song. Smoothie was track number two, but... we're going to talk about the intro of the album, which I don't think is an intro. It feels like a real song. So let's jump to you, Alamark. This was a very bombastic, I think, if I remember correctly. Very, again, another bass heavy type of like beat. But what did you think of track number one, I Can't Feel Anything? All one word.
Yeah, so I Can't Feel Anything. This is kind of like me listening to it after just hearing the smoothie chorus. So this turned out to be like, oh, okay, this is like, it turned into, oh, I hope this is what the album turns more into, because I just loved it immediately because it felt like an intro, but it, as you said, it actually is like a full song. So it kept out of great elements of like an intro track, but extending it out to a full, at least like to something. But I think what hit me immediately was just the soundscape that was created in this song, because it sounds like equal parts ethereal but also spacey. There's a lot of room for each individual like thing in this song to stand out. Like I think especially when that like when the beat drops in the early on, that's where it like surprised me. Oh, it wasn't just gonna be like this like soft like song. It has like some, it adds a little bit of edge and like sort of mystery to it, which I think becomes representative in this I guess dreamscape of an album, if anything. So it's just, to me, it's like so very well produced, well built, because it starts so grand and wide in the beginning, but then like it feels like over the course of the song also like more things drop out until you just get the vocals. Production wise it like suits what I like a lot, so it was very, very cool way to start off the album, and I enjoyed it quite a lot.
I have to agree with you that it does, I feel like it'd be the perfect concert opener, just the part where the chorus is just an instrumental. That'd be a great like moment to build hype up. I'm just imagining the lights just strobing and flashing all over the place, just getting the crowd hyped up. But Steven, what did you think about I Can't Feel Anything? Were you not feeling anything, or did you feel something?
This song, I was shaken, and I really liked it. And I think it was very fitting for the title and like the album art that we had been given already. It did feel like an intro, but I'm glad it was a bit longer. I just really loved the production. It sounds dreamy. I think the whole, as a song, as a whole, it's very dreamlike. Because it has these different sections that just, it can just suddenly turn. When those first like drums came in, and then we get that hit on three, and then that just cut. I love how sharp it sounds within all the other sounds. So far it feels just very like dreamy and light, but with that edge I mentioned. It's such a well together song. A lot of very, really pretty vocals throughout, and then it ends with some great harmonies. It's a really good opener, really good song just in general too.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm thinking of the second pre-chorus. I don't know if the first pre-chorus is like this, but I liked how they stacked there was no like break. It was just like you would hear one heavenly voice, and then like the next heavenly voice would come on top of it. They would just kind of like relay race these lines, and it just kind of made it sound like a vocal or like a chorus, like I'm imagining a chorus of angels basically singing. It's just really cool, and I really enjoyed how the outro was reminding me very much of like a Porter Robinson type of ethereal track where there's no lyrics, you're just kind of vibing to the sounds, and yeah, it was this was great. This is a good song.
Just like how after we heard those drums, the drum, like the kick was on every beat, like throughout the rest of the song, and it just felt like we're running towards a cliff, but then once we reach the edge, like we don't drop, we just kind of stay floating. Float. With those the harmonies and the vocals in the end.
Direct the music video for this song, Steven. Just pitch it to SM.
Yeah, I feel like this song feels as much as like it's great storytelling. That's what it feels like, especially when like the I can't feel comes in. Like, it feels very cinematic.
I think you mentioned it, Steven, but I think Alan Mark, you can come to the same consensus as well as me. It felt short, but you know, at the same time, I think it's fine. it's like, I would love like to just be in this moment more, but I can always just restart the song. But
yeah,
it does feel just a tad. I could have had a little bit more, but okay. Speaking of a little bit more, we are going to give you more How You Can Eat, of course, but we got to take a little break and catch our breath. And go sipping on some water or something like that. So when we come back, we will talk about two more songs that we have chosen for you, and we will of course figure out the favorite song of each of ours. So we'll find that out. Stick around, we'll see you on the B-side. All right, welcome back to the B-side. We got two more songs to talk about, and luckily enough for us, it's the track number three and track number four. So starting with track number three, entitled Dropbox. Just kidding, it's Box. entitled Box. Steven, I feel like I have to throw this to you only because of, or you're in the vicinity of where I feel like the inspiration for this song probably was birthed. It just feels very, very New York to me.
Oh, so okay.
Just at least the start, like New York hip hop. So track number three, Box, what did you think about this song?
Actually, I guess I don't know how well it sounds like New York. I don't know. But I don't always notice, and what I will always bring up is when it's a London Noise track. So, this is always I guess I no longer can expect them to sound a certain way, but I did like this production. What I think my takeaway of the song is that it feels, I think, more like more poppy than it kind of maybe the other two songs, and it feels really accessible than what like the instrumentation or the beat kind of sounds like. I feel like we hear these sort of harsh or almost like metallic sounds, but then we get the chorus, which is a really straightforward like chorus, and then a part that is, I think I enjoy singing along more to than I do Smoothie. So I feel like this song is almost built like a single too, and I think I like this chorus more than I like the chorus of Smoothie. But it kind of, I still think it's actually pretty a cohesive set of songs so far in this album. I enjoy listening to it. It's hard to say that I love it, but I love the chorus and like that post chorus section too, for how easy it is and like, I guess, accessible again.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think when I heard the intro and I heard the main hook or the beat of the song, I definitely grabbed my like extra large Got Bay t-shirt and my South Pole jacket and my JNCO jeans. I just kind of felt like I was in like the 2000s kind of hip hop kind of realm. And I think that was a good way to like intro the feeling of the song. But I kind of agree with you. Like the chorus, I think the chorus for me is what you were saying, like it sounds very poppy. It still sounds, yeah. Because it's not like, pop per se. It does give me like boy band energy with that chorus. The elevated singing type of not really shouting, but it just seems like they're mostly belting these lines. And so like I think what I try to say is overall the vibe I was getting was like a throwback, and I think because of that I thought this song was really, really great. It just it was almost like they were cherry picking nostalgia and like giving you moments, but then yeah, and then trying to like mesh it in for better or for worse. I think I will say the chorus, it did feel weird at first to hear that very hip hoppy beat, but then with this poppy kind of sound happening at the same time, I was kind of getting like a disjointed feeling, but I think after a while I kind of got what they were trying to go for. But yeah, this one feels in a way like I feel dirty, but then also like clean at the same time. I don't know. Al, Mark, I'm curious to know what you thought about Pox.
Yeah, I mean, I think the two of you already mentioned a lot about like the dichotomy between that verse, the grittier verse, and then the poppier chorus. I think to me that's just like how a lot of K-pop is, and especially B-sides, that's just how the songs are. So in that sense, like the I guess arrangement or the how the song was built feels like an expected K-pop song to me. But I mean, the elements that both of you sort of picked up on as well, I thought were at least interesting, definitely on their own. Like the old hip hop sound that I think Chuck was alluding to, and like those verses especially, like I think there's something about that inverted synth noise thing, like sample that they had. It feels like that feels like 90s New York to me, like maybe like RZA or Alicia Hid Muhammad would use that sample in a song differently. Like it wouldn't be used like the same way that it's done in this song, but like that's a tone that I feel like would suit what they produce. And then leading into like that very poppy chorus, which to me maybe also the fact that I understand the words feels very like corny to me, but it's still like a good melody. Like Chuck, when you brought up specifically like boy band, it like clicked for me. It's like, oh no, this sounds like that. It now sounds like a Five song, like Baby When the Lights Go Out, like Five.
Oh, yeah.
But like in the best ways. So yeah, it's like sort of a mix of all that, like very like it's, if anything, getting those things together into one song, I feel like this is what NCT's 90s love should have sounded like, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was more of a, I guess, New Jack-inspired sound, while this is just, like, it has some New Jack in it, I think, in that chorus, but, like, has more of, like, the gritty, like, Staten Island sound of in the choruses, so.
Steven, I think you need to forfeit your New York MTA card. Almark just like out New Yorked you just now.
Did I?
I don't.
He said Staten Island. I mean,
Well, hey, I go there sometimes.
Sometimes.
You can see
Staten Island. Yeah.
No, I can't. I came out from where I can't see.
Oh, are you facing the other way? Is that what?
I suppose I'm facing the other way, so I can't see Staten Island from where I live. But I get out the when I go there occasionally, I get off at the Stapleton stop, and shouldn't I need not say anything else? Because
We're doxing you. We're gonna
oh
dox
no,
you. We know where you live exactly.
anyway, yeah.
But yeah, I think because for me it's like this song sounds good. But maybe it's just in the moment I'm like really enjoying this. But yeah, I think I feel like we're generally lukewarm on this song. Is that the vibe I'm kind of feeling? Like it's got some element,
I like it, and I think more than lukewarm, but
Yeah,
it's
I
just
think I still
like
enjoy this song. Like, yeah, I don't dislike it.
yeah. I like when they spell the word box, and I thought that was fun. And wait, and I think is it got is it Haechan who does that like high note at the end, or at the end of the bridge. I mean, that was great.
Well, I think it's time to talk about track number four, entitled Carrot Cake. And I guess I'll lead this off. This song's great. This song is just so fun. It's got that what kind of bounce genre is this? Like
Drizzy Club. It's
Jersey
Drizzy.
Club, thank you. Is it Jersey or both? Yeah, I guess Jersey, yeah. Okay.
I think the at least from
I'm a
my understanding,
sucker.
I could be wrong. I think my understanding of that bass drum is
Well,
Drizzy Club.
whatever it is, I'm a sucker for it. I love that repetitive, monotonous, brain mesmerizing type of beat. And but not only that, there's some like catchy moments of this song. And I'm just like earlier today at work, we were talking about WoW because somebody asked me what Blizzard games I'd played, and I'd mentioned I played WoW, growing up. And first thing I thought was Yu Alamark, of course. But the reason why I brought that up is because when he said, "Did you play WoW?" my first thought was like, "Wow! That's a carrot cake! Wow!" So this song is for sure. I don't even know what else is in the song. That part alone makes this song really great for me. And it's just so okay. Anyway, it sounds so dreamy. This song. I mean, it just I don't know. It just feels so light when I'm like listening to this song. I'm just so happy, and it's just. It's like, what else can I say about this song? It's just very sparkly. The bass is like embedded into me, and anyway, that's all I gotta say. I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that wow moment. But yeah, I really enjoy the song. I'll throw it back to you, Almark. Were you taking a slice of this 14-carat? 24 carat. I don't know what the carrot, like what the nice carrot is. 24 carat cake.
It's more than I can afford, that's for sure. But it's like this is the song I think that surprised me the most when I got to it on this album, because it's like immediately hits you with that like Drizzy Club like bass, and they're like, oh, okay, we're here now. And then just like I don't know, like everything about it feels like a parody of like these type of songs, but it's like done in such like still like kind of earnest but in cool ways. I don't know, even if it feels like a parody, I like it for sounding like that. Like just how, yeah, the wow, like how the intonation of that is so like a strange choice to me. But also the what's that? What's that? Like it feels like it feels so unserious, and but it's like in such like a bouncy, happy like way that I'm just like I
Totally.
still really enjoy this. And like I don't even know what to say about the song as a whole. It's just like, it's just all over the place, and I sort of love it for that, but there's just like random lines, and I'm just like, a whole jewelry store in my hand. Like, cool. I do particularly love Renjun's part in the second verse when he sings like, diamonds, baby, I'm a diamond. That part up to the, I try to hide it, but you just can't hide it. Like, it, the way he sings it is just so pretty and so good. Like, I love Renjun's voice and how he sings a lot. He's potentially, I think, my bias in the group. I just love him. Wow. So it just sounds so nice and so good in this song. But yeah, like, just those very sweet moments intermittently in this song of just everything is in this song. It's just so strange, but very, very enjoyable.
This sounds like NCT Dream's is super shy. I feel like very, I don't know, the super shy and the carrot cake. Maybe it's that little triple syllable that gets catchy in your head. Okay, Steven, are you having a slice of the carrot cake?
I would say I am. I am not. But yeah, I love this playful turn. I just thought the song was really funny. Like, it does sound like a parody, maybe even of the song Regular. Remember, like, the lyrics of that was like all about them flexing. But like, this one, it was what I thought was so funny. It was like their constant like sound of surprise, like, and in awe of their own like accessories, right? Like, oh wow, just like admiring, oh what's that, like, but that's how they are. Like, say it's like they're saying, I have so much money, or like whatever, I have all this stuff that I forget that I have it on. It's just like, it's just whatever to me, but I appreciate it when I got it on. So it's just like, it's so funny. It makes it, yeah, it's very happy, enjoy, like just bouncy and upbeat. I think it's really like also kind of clever with the just the term carrot cake for whatever they're talking about. I was curious, you are both bigger 17 fans than I am. Like, did you have any reaction to carrot cake? I don't know.
I did. I was just like, whoa, approaching.
I guess that makes me a carrot cake, I guess. But
you are a carrot cake.
No, I didn't. I honestly didn't think about it in the 17 context.
But which is
it's funny though. I think I saw it, he posted on Weibo, and it was translated, but Renjin thought that he was actually singing about like carrot cakes, like the vegetable carrot cakes. He had no idea what a carrot cake, like that it meant like carrot, like diamonds, or like the, yeah, he had no idea until the album came out. So
wow. They just love
he just thought, I was like, oh, I love carrot cake, so it tastes good. Good.
Wow.
That's why he's like, oh, that's why they talk about diamonds in this.
Yeah.
I mean, going with the food milieu, that's what I thought. I mean, smoothie, carrot cake, I would have thought that too. Oh man, but I'm so happy you point, like, it's just seriously the wow, like
wow. Wait, wow. Wow.
Now we need K-pop stans who know how to use Windows Movie Maker. Please do a supercut of Owen Wilson singing this song. I just want to see. Wow. I don't know why, but I didn't even think to be like, this sounds like a parody, because it just sounded like just playful, like so fun and just lighthearted. It was just I don't know, but you're right, it could be like, because it if anything, it sounds like very modern. I mean, a lot of that Jersey Club or the very drum and bass heavy type of like beat. I feel like we're getting that a lot with mainstream pop and hip hop, like especially like TikTok type music. And I feel like the cadence, like the part, the verses where it's like, like that is that a triplet? I just assume that's triplets anytime anybody raps fast. Yeah, that type of style I feel like is very, really, really popular right now. So maybe they are doing a parody of popular music, but I don't know. Just such a fun subject matter. Listeners, you can't notice right now, but we're all just vibing to the song.
Yeah, it is a very pleasant part. Yeah, like these type of club songs are just like so like high energy, even though it's not like loud and boisterous, but like the beats are so high energy because it's just relentless, like duh. And like, mm-hmm. Yeah, you just want to dance and have fun with it. So yeah. It's like, oh, Mark just came in the second verse. It sounds good. Let's go. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought they did a very smart choice to like kind of give the vocals more of a roomier, like breathier kind of airier sound to it, because it kind of just added to this like great feeling. Like I'm thinking of the line where it's like it hit the heart like ling, like, you know, the way they just end every single line, it just sounds very pleasant. And yeah, but now I'm again, anytime somebody says wow and anytime somebody offers me carrot cake, it's now forever ruined, or maybe not ruined.
If anything it's
made better because of,
yeah
made better because of the song. Wow.
I just imagine someone you handing you some carrot cake and you're like, it's a carrot cake. Wow.
It's like, hey, check, you want some carrot cake? Wow.
It's a what's that thing on my wrist?
It's a raisin. Raisins. Hey, is that just like a normal carrot cake thing? I just feel like I've been eating a lot of carrot cake with raisins in it. And I don't know who decided that was going to be a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's a normal thing.
Yes. It's a lot.
Right. Also, what is a daimon? Like D.
Oh, I looked that up. I looked it up.
Okay, good. Thank you.
It's like a being that's in between humans and like deities, so like sort of demigod-ish. Oh my god. So it's like saying like they're like above humans and like sort of exalted in that, like they're that dope, I guess, but not quite a god.
I gotta go get a
like when you send an email and it gets bounced back, it goes to the mailer.
Mailer Daimon.
Yeah.
Wasn't he the winner of making the band we don't mention that guy right now. But anyway,
I know, or maybe they're just referencing Lou Diamond Phillips. Who knows?
You know what?
La Bamba. Oh man, okay, well, that was an enjoyable back half of this discussion. Wait, so I'm okay, a carrot cake diamond ring, right?
How would you have it on your watch wrist? I saw it as a watch. Or a bracelet of some watch, sort. Yeah,
makes sense. Okay,
I mean, regardless, there's a handful, so
yeah, because I'm thinking like you know, the big like a big diamond, like that's the carrot cake, you know? Like
I was imagining like a bunch of small diamonds, just like...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's that thing in my wrist? Okay. That song's forever. It's totally going to be catchy. let's move on now to our favorite section of the episode. What's your favorite? This is the part where we try to guess each other's favorite song. And I was not here last week, so I think it's only right that I go first. and figure out what your favorite songs are. Let's see. Just re-listening to Unknown and Breathing again just to make sure I have all my things. Okay. Here we go. Alan Mark, I think your favorite song is Unknown. Steven, I think your favorite song is I Can't Feel Anything.
Okay. I will go for Chuck. I'll go with Carrot Cake for you. And then Alan Mark, I'll go I Can't Feel Anything.
Cool. I'm going to guess Carrot Cake for both of you.
Very good. Very good. Okay, time to reveal. It's Carrot Cake. Come on. So obvious. So obvious for me. I was so excited to talk about this song. Oh, man. Okay, Steven, did I guess right?
Actually, yeah, right now it is I Can't Feel Anything.
Okay.
Yeah. It's my favorite. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and Alan Mark?
My favorite smoothie is actually from Ben's Fast Food. Because we're talking about smoothie. I found it. It's just called a green smoothie from Ben's Fast Food. It has spinach, pineapple, banana with some lime juice and house coconut milk. So it's all plant-based and it's really good. It's
wow.
Very
good.
Coconut milk.
I feel like I've never had lime in a smoothie before.
The citrus actually brings out it's really good. I like getting it when I order Ben's fast food.
I was gonna guess
when I come over.
But I got a couple.
So off.
But my favorite song of this album is Unknown.
No.
What?
I even knew. I had the
2 years. I had the data 2 weeks absent. Oh yeah. Oh sorry. We didn't get to talk about Unknown for you.
That's fine.
Dang.
I'm sorry. Did you try to do an Excel formula in the data and then it spit out Unknown? Is that what happened?
Unknown got formula. One.
You just said so. I did vote for it.
We actually all picked I Can't Feel Anything and Carrot Cake.
And Carrot Cake, yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Unknown's so good. Okay.
Yeah.
shout out to Unknown. Okay. All right. Now, of course, time to close up shop. We've had a lot of fun, but it's time to go home. So before we do that, we're going to do one last call for anything you want. NCT Dream, this album, what smoothie you're going to order after this episode's over, anything you want. So anybody want to go first?
I'll go first.
I can talk about a random
stuff. I think,
go ahead, Steven.
Chuck, you might have to go last because you have expressed the most previous enthusiasm about doing this album. But I think I haven't paid too close attention to what Dream has been doing since we covered them. So I guess I'm more treating this as an album on its own than like what it means for their sound or their careers. But I think it was an album I thought was really cohesive overall within its six tracks. And I liked the way it turned, like in the last half, and then how the first three I feel like fit together, and then the last three I think they fit together really well. But overall, I think a really good album that probably is more about the B-sides for me than the single, which is pretty common. But I was also thinking about just what I've been paying attention to in K-pop this year so far, and like just feeling like not a ton has impressed me, and maybe I'm feeling a bit of like a lack of imagination in what I've heard. So
Wow.
this
You're not even, you're just moving on from NCT Dream and just talking about
yeah.
K-pop as a whole.
I
Wow.
think like just at the end of the quarter, I feel like this was a good kind of a release to end the first couple months or first few months. And I've always thought of NCT as these forward-thinking entities, so I think this still fit with them too, because it kind of diverged from what I had early thought about them earlier. So I think a good album. I don't really know what to think of just NCT as a whole now. Like it's big, it's morphed into something. But this, yeah, always enjoy Mark and Haechan and the crew. But it's yeah, I actually really like this album. And that's all.
Yeah, I'll go next,
Well said.
but yeah, I think I don't disagree with what Steven said about sort of how uninspired K-pop's been so far this year.
Whoa.
But yeah, and going into it like this NCT album, I think maybe partly of why I enjoyed it overall, like from top to bottom so much, is because it stands out a bit more compared to what's been released this year. Because I do also think it's very good. Even, I mean, yeah, Unknown's my favorite song. Even Breathing, I really like, I love it as a track on this. So, yeah, like NCT Dream doesn't, they don't really disappoint, it seems like, in my opinion. Even though like they had three full albums in a row, which like just a lot of songs, and I didn't really like listen to them that much. But when I do, it's like, oh yeah, they're good. This is good. Their A&R is working very hard. I think overall though, in spite of me like really loving this EP, my biggest gripe I think is how Smoothie as a song and like its lyrical concept doesn't seem to fit anything else, like especially visually with the EP. Like for me it feels like conceptual whiplash, like the song called Smoothie, but it's like it doesn't match how like the teaser images, the teaser videos, like anything. And K-pop does, I think SM the most, but like K-pop in general does that a lot. I'm just like, can't you just give me something that's cohesive? But in saying that, that is like the one thing that I dislike from this album, because everything else I think is really, really good. So yeah, so I mean, yeah, the Dreamies are still young, so they're still gonna be able to keep making music for a while. So I'm excited that, yeah, they're in their eighth year now, and they're all still like generally in their
Don't say
mid
that.
to early 20s. So
Oh, God.
yeah, the Jisung is like 22 now, I think. So yeah, they still got time. So there's a lot to look forward to still with this group. So
We're like in our 100th year of K-pop. Just feels like it. Oh my God. Okay, I'll go last. I'll be really quick. I really, really enjoy this album, as I've mentioned to these guys prior to us recording this. And I have to agree, like, not on the K-pop thing. I have no opinion. I have no opinion on that right now. But I agree that I think Smoothie is the worst track on this album. But it's good. But everything else is so much better. And it. I have to agree with you, Steven, that this is a very cohesive track. I really like the departure. It's I haven't listened to NCT Dream well enough to like notice like specific stylings of the group, but I will say that I really enjoyed I mean this one feels much more not mature, but refined, and it just makes me feel like every song was intentionally created for this album. Like it doesn't feel like a just a mishmash of things that they thought would sound good together, but everything that they really wanted to hit this concept, and I think they nailed it on the head. It was just very, very good, and every song provided like a different flavor for you to like enjoy, and I really enjoyed just going through the journey of this album. It was just so fun, and like I will agree also with what Alamark said. I think it's standing out because it just sounds not necessarily experimental, but like they're pulling sounds that I don't normally hear from K-pop in general. So it just made me like I didn't even know we were gonna go listen to this album. I just hit play because it was like on my what to listen next, and I was like, this is great. Like, this is NCT Dream. Whoa. And so I was very excited to cover this. And yeah, I would say I think NCT Dream is my favorite NCT, like out of all four NCTs. And do I like you? No, Dream. It's Dream. But yeah, it's really Mark. I love Mark. But
that's like 90% of NCT stuff.
Yeah, so that makes sense. But anyway, I really look forward. I don't think for me NCT Dream has missed at all. I was kind of like when I was just perusing around Reddit, I saw the comment. I forget who made it, so apologies. But I think the best way to sum up this album is all killer, no filler. So that's how we end this conversation. Except for a smoothie, maybe that's the filler. But it's a smoothie. Smoothies fill you up, so I think that's the ultimate filler. So by nature, a smoothie is a filler. Okay, well, I'm back, guys, and I'll probably be gone next week. But no, I'll try to be back next week. That's it. That's the episode. Listeners, thank you so much for choosing to dine with us. We really hope you enjoyed your stay. You can catch more episodes of How You Can Eat on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Make sure to follow us at How You Can Eat on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, anywhere else. If we're not there, let us know. We'll go make accounts. And, of course, email us. Email Steven at howyoucaneat@gmail.com. What a fun episode, guys. What a fun episode. For, actually, you know what? Let's do some plugs. Alan Mark, do you have something to plug?
Oh, I do have something to plug. Starting April 10th, I will be appearing on a tabletop RPG show that's hosted by this baseball blog called Bayside Baseball. Shout out to Mark. We're doing a 4-episode arc, edited actual play of a D&D campaign, essentially, where it's all baseball themed. So if you love baseball and you love tabletop RPG, and if you love me, you should go watch that. April 10th, it'll be up on YouTube, I believe. It was very exciting. It was very fun to do. Hopefully I get to do more of that stuff in the future too. So this is the first foray into it. I'll probably say it again next week, but April 10th is when at least the first episode will be out.
I have some questions, and I'll have probably more questions next episode.
Okay.
But is it like playing 2K career mode, except you roll for decisions and moves that you play as a character? Or is that going to be? Are you going to leave that as a surprise?
No, I will say. I don't know if this will be a surprise.
Because I'm curious. Baseball D&D, and I'm trying to figure out like what is that.
I will say.
I saw the trailer.
I don't think it's going to spoil anything, but we basically get isekai'd. So if that helps.
Okay. Got it. Okay. that doesn't help, but okay.
Great.
But you said isekai, and I know what that is. So that's fun. Oh, it's so exciting. Steven, are you doing some 60s, 70s, 80s D&D?
Sadly, I'm not.
Asian D&D?
But I do have the next extended family.
What are the next shows?
Is going to be on April 11th So, actually,
right afterwards,
what a week. We get a double dosing. What a week.
Oh, man.
I can't wait for us to plug these things again next week.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I got to figure out something to do on Friday.
Also, early, just get a good solar viewer. You got to keep your vision so you can watch the video Alan Mark's in. You don't need to listen to me, but if you want to watch my live stream, you should just use
ISO. You need a solar viewer to watch
we shine so bright. No, it's because I don't have confidence that our listeners won't look directly at the sun, so make sure you wear something when for the eclipse. The eclipse, so that's all I will plug.
Oh, great plugs. I have nothing to plug except be good to each other. That's it. Okay. For Alan Mark, Steven, and I, it has been our absolute pleasure being your leaders this week. So long, stay safe, and we'll see you next feast.
See you.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.